Can you hear me? It's great to have everyone here. So many families. Open your Bibles again to Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking in there. A Savior has been born. That's good news. Very good news. Good news of great joy. That's what the angel told the shepherds outside of Bethlehem that night. We just had it read to us. We saw it on the screen. This is the fun part of the story. Everyone likes to hear the good news of peace and joy. In a few minutes, we'll consider a part of the story that's, well, not so well received. I don't know if you're old enough like I am to remember the Charlie Brown Christmas. Could you almost hear Linus's voice reading that? She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, and there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. That's what the angels always say when they show up. They say, don't be afraid. Why do they say that? People are always afraid. And it's a good thing this one angel showed up and told them that, because he was scary enough. But then the host of heavens appear. And you know what the word host means? Armies. The armies of heaven appear. If they showed up the first time, the shepherds probably would have died of heart attack. And they sing the praises of God and of God's gift to man. Today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the sign you will have. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And the multitude of angels said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased. God gets the most glory out of this. Glory to God in the highest. He gets glory in this, sending a Savior to the earth. And that's good news. So they said, let's go see this, and they did. And then they told everyone what they saw. That's the fun part of the Christmas story. I can almost hear the music. I can't do songs, so I won't try to repeat it to you, but you know the music from Charlie Brown's Christmas. Now, let's look in verse 25. This is the story of Simeon. We didn't read it earlier today. See if you can find the dirty little secret about Christmas in Simeon's narrative. This is the part of the Christmas story that people don't like to hear about. Some get angry if you tell them. Do you know what I'm talking about? Listen, see if you hear it. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, that is, when he was 40 days old, they were to give gifts for purification, and they gave the ones that the poor people give. So this means the Magi had not shown up yet and given them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they gave the two turtle doves. He took the baby in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So God's salvation is a person, the Christ, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them, very much like what Johnny just did to the parents of Sebastian. He blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, to be spoken against. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that many thoughts, that thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Did you hear it? Now Simeon, he sees with his own eyes and the Christ child who's been the promised salvation for all of these years, he's touched him with his own hands. He held him. And then filled with the Holy Spirit, he prophesied. What's the awful truth about Christmas that people don't want to hear? Why would anyone speak against the Savior? What is there to say against the Savior? Who would oppose someone taking away the sin of the world? Who doesn't want that? He said there would be revealing of hearts. Do people have anything to hide? What would people hide? Who doesn't have something to hide? We all do. We want to hide our sin. But the Bible says everything will be revealed. Now we have a choice. We can reveal our sin now to God in confession and repentance, and then we receive the gift for which the Savior came to give us. Or we can wait, and then at the last, on the last day at the white throne judgment, we'll have to still confess with our mouth, and our knee will have to bow. But it'll be too late for then. That's when judgment's pronounced. So yes, Simeon gave away the awful secret about Christmas. Here it is. What's the reason for the season? We are. Well, something about us, that is. The reason for the season is our sin. We're sinners. People don't want to talk about it. That's why we keep it a secret. It's no fun to talk about sin on a holiday. That's depressing. But that's the reason for the season, sin. We're sick with sin. It's a pandemic. Jesus said only the sick need a doctor. Well, that's all of us. They were criticizing Jesus, and he said, it's not the healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. What's our sickness? Sin. We're not righteous. We're sinners. We're dirty. We're bad. We've broken God's law. We're all lawbreakers. God's holy, and he must punish sin, which is lawlessness. In 1 John 3, John says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know, Christ appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there's no sin. God's justice, God's law demands that we be judged. That's the reason for the season, God's justice. There it is. God's holiness, that's the reason for the season. God's too holy to let sin go unpunished. We're rebels. We declared independence from the King of the universe. We're living on his land and refuse to follow his rule. In fact, many don't even acknowledge that it is his land. And I'm not talking about America, I'm talking about the earth. We've rebelled against God, and we're at war with him. At war with God, newsflash, God's going to win. We need to make peace with him before he comes with his army to put down the rebellion. The heavenly host announced peace on earth. That is, the heavenly army announced peace on earth. Imagine if they were announcing war. The Bible says that will happen, that the Holy One, Christ will come with his holy ones in war. to punish sin at the end of time. God will defend his kingdom, and he will punish his enemies. Now, I'm not talking like this because Star Wars came out this week. I mean, it is, you know, a long time ago and far away, but no, this is truth that's stranger than fiction. God is sending his king to finish the war and bring a lasting and just peace. Consider Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And also in the same chapter, verse 10, if while we were enemies, and we were, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? So why do they have to declare peace on earth? Because the world is at war with God. That's why we need peace. And that reconciliation has been accomplished by Jesus. The shepherds understood this, and they rejoiced. God's kingdom's finally here. That's the reason for the season. There it is. That's the reason for the season. The new king is born. He makes peace with us. Peace is very important, especially if you are, your lives and your family and everything is in danger of war. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 40. And some of you can hear Handel's Messiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity has been removed. What was causing her warfare? Her iniquity. And Christ has removed it. As was read earlier, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end of the increase of his government or of his peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. So it's God's kingdom. It's God's justice. It's our sin. Wait, don't forget God's love. That's the reason for the season. God's love compels him to rescue us from his own righteous wrath. We need a Savior. We're under judgment. We can't save ourselves. But God, being great in mercy, chose to save us from the judgment that our sins deserve. Paul tells us in Titus 3, for we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of our God and Savior appeared, his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. So it's God's love. But don't forget his glory. That's the reason for this season. God said he glories in being merciful and gracious to those he decides to help and don't deserve it. That's what he told Moses when Moses said, show me your glory. For then, how can it be known then that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people on the face of the earth? What's our distinction? That God is with us. He says, God said to Moses, I will do this thing which you've spoken, for you found favor in my sight, and I've known you by name. Doesn't God know everybody? He's on a first-name basis with Moses. Moses was his friend. And Moses said, I pray, show me your glory. He said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious and show compassion on whom I'll show compassion. How did God do that? How does he satisfy his justice and his holiness and punish our sin and transgression and still be loving and kind to us? How did he cure us of our disease of sin and cleanse us from our defilement and filth? How did God rescue us and gain glory through that? He sent a Savior. That's how God did it. He sent the Savior. Christmas time is a time to remember what the Savior came to do. That's it. The Savior is the reason for the season. What did the Savior do for us? He became our Redeemer when he paid our debt to God's perfect law. What was that debt and how did he pay it? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So death was the penalty, and he willingly gave up his own perfect sinless life in our place. What a great Savior. What a Redeemer. What costly and precious redemption. Our sin, God's love, Christ's sacrifice. Now we have peace on earth with our Creator and Judge, our Heavenly Father. That's Christmas. Good news means that something has happened and it's good. It's a change. It's a change for the better. That makes it good news. But before the good news came, things were not so good. They were bad. The good news only makes sense if you understand what the bad news is. Jesus came to fix the bad and make it good. That's the best part of the story. Now think about this. A group of men at night standing guard, and then an angel shows up. That's how Jesus' life starts out. You know what? That's also how his life ends up. Started off with shepherds guarding sheep. And he's the great shepherd, and he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But how did it end up? In a tomb with a Roman guard standing guard. An angel shows up. And it wasn't so good for the guards. And that was just one angel, not the armies of heaven. The two groups represent men in the world. The world. There's only, in the end, there's only two positions. Everyone stands in one of two lines. Either those who receive with joy the coming of a Savior to save them from their sins and from the wrath of God so they can be reconciled to their Father. Or those who think, well, this is just another religious sham, a scam. True power resides in what men can do, what governments can do, what money can buy. Those will be terrified to learn too late that God is real and they're under his judgment. How do these two scenes get put together? The shepherd is also the lamb. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. God struck him, the good shepherd, in our place. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Simeon said, a light, not just for Israel, but for all the nations. Again, Isaiah 49. It's too small a thing that you, the Christ, should be my servant to rise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. That's the reason for the season. But let me ask you, you're with family, or you will be, you'll be getting presents and giving presents, but do you understand that the purpose of Christmas is to be a remedy for the bad news? is to take care of our sin and to bring us to God and make peace and joy possible? Have you done that? Then it's time you do, because that's the meaning of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. You gave us the best Christmas present, the one we needed, a Savior. Just help us to keep that in mind over the next couple of weeks. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.